Welcome to the AI Review Room tonight. My name is Mark Indilius, and we're excited about another great live show. Our main purpose of this particular live show is really solving today's problems with using AI. Juwan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, as always. A little restless, long day on the job, but nonetheless, I'm always willing and ready on Tuesday to have this engaging conversation and share with the community about AI. So I'm looking forward to it in that regard and get my energy flowing, my blood flowing.
Great. I just want to briefly thank everybody that's been subscribed and watching the show. We're getting individuals around the world, England, Australia, and Southeast Asia. We're getting a lot of different individuals and, of course, the great United States. All our great viewers here watching us live also. Let's jump right into the agenda tonight. We're going to be reviewing four different types of AI technology. Two are going to be based in the financial sector. One is for relationships between married couples or singles. And then one is going to be a bit in healthcare. And then after that, we will review 4 to 5 AI news stories. And then we're going to finish up with going and doing a deep dive and Perplexity AI. So let's get into the show. So the first one is Hoops AI. So tell me about this, Juwan.
Okay. So as for all of our regulars that we do reviews on a lot of technologies, especially AI technology, since we are the AI review room, but there's a lot of interesting things that was happening this past few weeks, especially with companies providing their quarterly earnings reports. And you've probably seen a few companies, hence Google in particular, that's deciding to now offer dividends. So I decided to let me play in the AI financial space. And so Hoop AI was one of the ones, as I was doing my search, that came up across my screen. Now, let me take a look at what Hoop AI is. It's a pioneering technology company that provides personalized stock market insights through an AI-powered platform. So the platform allows its users to monitor and track their investing ideas, explore a wide range of assets, including stocks, currencies, cryptocurrencies, and get real-time generated trading ideas tailored to fit their personal mindset and their personal needs. So Hoop AI also provides other resources such as market research and news to help investors make these informed decisions. And so I'm expecting for this technology to help me in those areas as I start to dive deeper and help eliminate some of the mundane tasks that I have to do with my research. It's a relatively, honestly, it's new. They don't have a pricing model in place yet, and it has not been launched based off of the descriptions and the website that I was looking at for this. But as I was going through this, I asked myself, what problem does this Hoops AI intend to solve? And so for me, as someone who frequently uses it, I'm looking for it to help me as an investor, as a trader, to make more informed investment decisions via their AI platform. So I'm hoping that it can help me in that regard. But nonetheless, I'm curious as to how is this going to do. So as I'm navigating through this, we're going to explore the intended use cases that they had and the methodologies that they said would help. And the thing that they touted was their advanced AI technology to deliver customized trading ideas. Their comprehensive offering, which gives us coverage of a wide range of assets, including stocks and currencies, and they provide real-time updates and alerts. So I played with a number of these platforms before in the stock sector, but I'm curious to see how it's going to pan out over here with Hoops AI. So let's get to it. And remember, the problem we're trying to solve is this going to help us? How is it going to help us manage our portfolios and do our research in real time? When I logged in and you log in using your traditional Google or any other email address that you may have, you just literally just input that. It'll send you an email. Once you have the email, they call it the magic link, because inside their platform is where the magic happens. And once you click that magic link, it logs you in, brings you to your home screen. What pops out immediately is on this black background is this green icon or green banner stating complete your onboarding to get your personalized AI trading ideas. I thought that was pretty interesting, that because that stood out. They wanted that to be the focal point on this, so that way you can tailor this to meet your desired trading strategies. So let's click on it. And when you click on it, enter your name. So I'm going to just put my name. I'm going to go with the AI review room. Okay. And so as you're going through this, it's walking you through trying to get a feel for where you're at in life, how you, your level of understanding. And when I say in life, but the risk that you're really to take, how long you're willing to invest in these stocks. Are you in it for overnight success, short-term investment, long-term plays, risk, low risk tolerance, or even if you have a high risk tolerance. And then as far as your financial proficiencies, and this is where a lot of people may need to tailor it back to basics. I'm going to stick with the middle, but for this, I'm a long-term player. I tried the penny stocks and it was fun, and I'm a high risk. So you put those two together, and that's why I was in the penny stock sector for a while, because I like to take risk. No risk, no reward. But then it says pick your asset classes. And so you're tailoring your investments for the focus that for what you want to focus on. I'm big on crypto. You can do all by default, but I'm big on cryptos. I like stocks. Not doing no currency, no Forex or anything like that. But let's just stick with these two just for the sake of this review. And next, your focus. And so as far as my focus, let's go with technology. Healthcare would be typical, but I'm not going to do that given I deal with that all the time. But financial, let's go with those two. Then I submit. And when I submit, it builds out my profile. It builds out and makes personalized picks for me based off of my focus and the things that I'm looking into. But now, as you noticed, banner has went away. So with the banner going away now, we can get to it. So let's see what this platform is all about. I see that now they have Hello AI Review Room with the date. Okay, perfect. The For You is your home button. It takes you back, but they have a search option. So I can use this search option to search for additional stocks. So let's just say Tesla. Click on Tesla. It gives us additional information about that. We're not going to dive into it just yet. I'm going to go through the additional items on the left-hand side, your watch list, whereas maybe I want Tesla to be a part of my watch list. So I can come over here. It's TSLA. Click on it. Save it. Okay. And this was pretty interesting to me because when I clicked on it, it just gave me Tesla ticker symbol. But I'm like, where's the icon? So I had to actually click on plus. Come over here and I had to add it. And that's how it got added to my watch list. So now I have that there. I toyed around with it a little bit because that quite didn't make sense to me. I was like, there has to be a better way for me to just add something to my watch list. So when I came back to my stocks, I went to Amazon. It stayed up here. But boom, I can just click Amazon and have that added to my watch list. Theoretically, that's what it's supposed to do. Asset is added to your watch list and save. You don't see it, but nonetheless, it's there somewhere. That's one of the things that I think they're probably going to have to figure out to make that a little more friendlier. Easy to navigate through. But nonetheless, so let's go into it. When you look at your Amazon, you have across the top, you have your different strategies and you can explore these different strategies. For those who are looking to not quite understand how to leverage and look into these stocks, you can get some expert strategy input from the AI tools. And as you can see here, if you're a short seller, short selling long-term strategies, you can just click on this and it gives you some plays within that particular space. So this is one that they consider you can go short or long with. I don't actually know the name of this one, but that's going for $2.10.
Yeah, it's a currency. Yep.
Okay. And so it's a currency. I'm not for sure. GB, is it Britain?
It's Great Britain. Yep.
Great Britain. Okay. But nonetheless, you can see under the different strategies, you can click and it gives you additional information. One of the things for the defensive longs, this strategy seeks to find defensive and low volatility stocks. And so for me, I like low volatility, but I also like high volatility because I want to make some plays. I want to make some money. But nonetheless, I picked a long-term strategy play here, not my penny stock strategy. You have your growth strategy, the strategy selects the most price appreciative. and heavily traded stocks to date this year. So it gives you a lot of good information here within the expert strategy where you're leveraging AI to help you build out your portfolio in that regard. Then if you want to take some matters in your own hand because you have an idea of the type of stocks you're looking for, when I played with penny stocks, I stayed on Stock Screener. And the reason I stayed on Stock Screener is because I wanted a particular type of stock, mainly a stock under. I wanted it under, and right here they have under $10. I wanted it under a dollar. I wanted it to be extremely volatile. Any catalyst could move the price higher or lower in a matter of seconds. So you get in and get out. But nonetheless, so the Stock Screeners, I've used Yahoo. I've also used FinZizz, but they're bringing all of that to you right here in this platform, and they're doing a lot of the work for you. I thought that was pretty cool, especially to help me. They can do stock comparisons where you can compare multiple stocks and as well as your economic calendar. So all of this is vital for those who are serious about investing because you want to compare to see how any stocks that you're considering is doing against other stocks. You also want to understand what events are occurring because events can have a tremendous impact on your stock's momentum, higher, lower, and things of that nature. So you want to stay up to date. You also want to know quarterly releases when they're going to present or share their quarterly reports. So this gives you just a high level overview of what's going on, crude oils, inventories, et cetera. And this week you can sort by the day. It's a pretty cool tool for you to play with, especially if you're trying to familiarize yourself, but you also have your markets. And when you look at your markets, this is another part of the Stock Screeners that I would use. Now this is under the markets clip, but I like to look at the top gainers. Who are the top gainers? Why are they? And when I look at them, especially in the penny stock sector, I want to know why are they moving? What catalyst has come out that triggered this to move higher or lower? And you can start doing historical data and say, okay, every time that they have a quarter report that they do well, their stock price skyrockets up 50, 60%. You also want to look at your losers. You want to know who to stay away from, or better yet, on the flip side, you want to know why are they losing? And then the fact that the price is going down, is it because of a global event? If it's going down because of a global event, maybe that's just an anomaly, but it's going to recover. I'll use the port of, I'm not even going to use the port of Baltimore. I'd use like an example, like a gas station, BP, Shells. If you did your homework and it has a great valuation, fundamentals are there, but all of a sudden one day the stock price goes down out of the blue, you turn on Bloomberg or any other news channel and there's an oil spill, then when you look at it, of course that price is going to go down because that's an event that's impacting that price. But nonetheless, you as an investor who've done your fundamentals, that this is just a one-off and it's going to eventually recover because it has solid fundamentals in place. So you want to look at that. You want to look at the most active stocks. I looked at the most active stocks. Bitcoin is very active, has high volume, but when you're looking at its activity, the activity is pretty much speaking to the volume. So this is giving you all of that information right there, your recent earnings, up and coming earnings. And so this is bringing all that information right here in one platform for you to utilize. This was interesting. They're also allowing you to leverage this as a broker, so you can start trading directly from this platform. So that one throat to choke mentality, your single source is all right here. You'll just have to connect to your broker company, whomever, and start trading. Link your information and you're able to start trading. They have more information as far as your blogs. I thought that was good. Give me that information and using AI to go out there and scour different blogs to get the sentiment of a stock. What are people saying about these stocks? Especially if it's a stock that I'm interested in. I want to know. I do that quite often. Like, why is Bitcoin price going down? What are people talking about out there? What's driving that price to go down right now? Even some of the other small altcoins, what's driving them to the meme coins, the Shiba Inu? Oh, they just did another burn. But it'll mention that. But those blog posts reaching out to Reddit and things of that nature, you're getting all that information. You have your educational. That's your biggest investment. You have a learning center where you can go and educate yourself on these stocks and how to navigate the stock market, crypto exchanges, and things of that nature. So I think that's pretty cool. They're getting touch button where you can contact them for any support, any questions that you may have. Pretty user friendly. I reached out to them just to try it. Quick response. Like I said, this is a solution that's not readily available right now. But there's no price associated with it right now. But I think that if they get adoption and people express interest in it, it's going to be something that's going to be heavily utilized. But that's the gist of this platform. You can go over here to your settings. Once again, I like the high risk, but if I'm not mistaken, you can change all of that. So it's not a set and forget. Once you set your focus, you can't change anything. You can actually change it. And so your investment horizon, I'm going to take this down. I don't want to go long term. And when I consider long term, for those out there, I consider long term to be about 10 years. That's what I consider long term. That's when you'll pretty much see the return on your you should see some sort of return, whether an equity within that from appreciation or from a dividends payout where you accumulate it enough to start having it pay a bill or two. This was a pretty slick tool. I really enjoyed it. And it's probably something I'm going to continuously keep my eye on to see how it develops, what developments are happening in the near future, because I may just use this platform. So that being said,
all righty. So, did it consolidate and initially address some of the problems of gathering all this financial information and consolidating it in one location?
It did exactly that. It gave me all the information that I needed right there. And I'm going to go through it and play with it more. This is just nothing more than an introduction to this technology for people to see what's out. I'm no expert on it. Honestly, they didn't have many tutorials on it out there either. So we're learning this as we go. It's going to be new to market. But yes, it solved a problem to me.
Yeah, I can see where consolidating this, there's a ton of financial platforms out there. And we're going to be reviewing another one tonight. And we'll be reviewing more of these platforms throughout the years. And it, to me, was very basic at this point. I think they're just testing it. But I can see where it could definitely help with consolidating it and solving that problem. One place to look at your financial information for stocks or crypto or currencies and other financial tools out there.
I agree.
Was it easy to use?
It's pretty straightforward. Like you said, it had a simplistic look and feel. I was right. Able to navigate through it. This isn't the first time I played with a tool like this. I've used other platforms that gave you that data in real time as well. I just like the fact that this did a lot of research for me. This pulled all that information in for me.
I agree with you. It was very easy to use. And then for value and pricing, it was free. So I would say that's a great value.
Great value for right now. But once again, it's free, but it's not in production either. So,
right.
So we're just playing around with
it. And that's pretty... And I do that when you get in pre-release and help some of these developers, and you can create, be part of that creative process, which is always fun. And would you recommend it at this point?
Yes. So hear me out on this. I would recommend it to individuals who's just getting started, want to learn how to navigate, understand the stock market, understanding the significance of watch lists, where it's pulling its information from, instead of having to go out there and navigate and do this all on your own or pull from different platforms. I think that this was useful. This was useful.
Good. Yeah, I agree with you. Since it's not really in full production and they don't have a model for using this for under a paywall, I would say that it would be good for just an educational type of thing.
Yes.
And just being part of the community to help with developing a new tool that might take off in the future itself. Introductory. All righty. So our next one is called Angry Girlfriend App. And I've been dying to do this one here. And problem that it is addressing is relationships and dealing with going through scenarios where guys, whether they are with a girlfriend or married, how to address a very difficult situation. And it is so hilarious how they had to develop an app for men to be able to communicate to women.
So this is an app for men to learn how to communicate with their women.
Absolutely. And I would think women around the world have always agreed with this, even before generative AI came around, in centuries, that men have a difficult time in communicating with women, and especially when they get angry. And so that is the problem that they felt they needed to address with this particular app. And it is it will be funny about this. So let's jump into the app. I have it right here. This little icon is Angry Girlfriend. And so I bring it up. And so it's pretty straightforward. First thing I'm going to show you, it gives you sort of their AI assistant. And what this AI assistant will do is, my girlfriend always mad at me for no reason. And then it will, so if you click on that, it will sure generate a long response of what you can do to help deal with when a girlfriend is angry at you, or wife. And it's trying to do the education beforehand itself. And it is very interesting. Oh, tread lightly, fellas. Oh, what's going on here, Juwan? Oh my gosh. Oh.
So Dwayne Stevens said, just don't say nothing. I beg to differ.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. So let's get into it. All right. These are the different scenarios, and I'm just going to read over these are the questions, and then Juwan, you pick one, and then I'll pick one. All right. The first one's, keep looking at a beautiful girl. You're late for a date. You forget to buy a gift on Valentine's. You praise a female friend. Being passive on a online chat. Lose money in the stock market. How ironic. We just talked about the stock market. Not picking up her phone. Angry for no reason. You save your mother first. Prioritize friends over her. So which scenario, what challenge are you ready to go and address here, Juwan?
Let's go with angry for no reason.
Okay. All right. Angry, where is that one? Let me see. Angry, let me praise. At the bottom? Okay.
Right there.
Okay, there it is. Okay. This is the scenario here. You click on it, and it's given you a forgiveness level of 60%. And you're given at least 10 tries to get it to 100%. But every time you get a question or response back that the ChatGPT didn't like, the angry girlfriend, she's going to tell you. And it will deduct or will add to your forgiveness level itself. So your girlfriend gets angry for no reason and is mad at you. You don't know the reason. Juwan? Give me your first response.
What are you mad at now?
What? Mad at now. I don't know how well that's going to be go. You never pay attention to me, to the little things. You don't even remember why I'm upset, do you? It's like you don't care at all. And guess what? Your forgiveness level went down. 10%.
But I inquire. So why is my forgiveness letter going down? I want to know. I don't know why she's mad at you. Now, this is just hypothetical. My wife and I, she already said I'm wrong.
She's ready to put you down.
She's ready. That she's on the attack already. So,
all right. What's the next response would be?
So, I don't pay attention. So she said, I don't pay attention to little things. I don't even know why she's mad. I don't care for her at all. Now, that's not true. Come on. Now, that's not true.
It is not true. Okay. We're going to see what angry girlfriend says. Oh, you.
Goodness, I'm confused.
Oh, you went down another 10%. Oh, no. So you're not saying I'm making things up. That's not exactly helping your case here.
So let me ask you this. Was this created by women for women? You know?
It is one of those things that we'll never know who the programmer is behind all this. It's better left unknown.
Okay. So Santa making things up, that's not exactly helping your case here. Once again, I'm just saying, this is where I take Mr. Cephas and just say nothing, because anything I say is going to be wrong at this point.
But okay, so do you want me to say that? I'm not going to say anything? Or what's your response back?
I want to see this through, because I want to see where she's going at with this. That's not exactly helping your case. So now you're saying I'm making things up. I'm not saying you're making things up. That's why I asked you earlier what was wrong, why you were mad. I inquired.
What is wrong? What is wrong with you?
With you? What's wrong with you?
All right. Let's see. Let's see how that goes over. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my Lord. You lost 20% on that one. Excuse me? You're supposed to be making things better, not insulting me. If you cannot even be kind, why are you we're even together?
Okay. Oh, gosh. It's just too long, because I want to say, you know what, my love, I'm sorry that you're not feeling good today or something's wrong with you. Let me take a seat and let me rub your feet and pour you champagne. Take all your problems away. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Oh, it went up 10%. Okay. Rubbing the feet must be very popular in the AI world.
Okay. My thing is, now and I know how I'm supposed to respond. Anything that's remotely just a conversational and realistic is not going to get me any points.
Hey, this show is all about being real. Just give me that real response.
You're just trying to distract me from the real issue. Still, it's a nice gesture.
Was a good hit fake you did on her, huh?
No, sweetheart. Talk to me. I'm genuinely interested in. I'm putting my Don Juan hat on. Juan, Juwan.
Very interested in your feet, or?
No, I'm very interested in learning more about what has you down.
What has you down? Okay. At least you're showing some interest now. It's important to me that you are genuinely concerned about my feelings. Let's talk about it. But remember, what do you feel heard and understood? I want to be filled, heard, and understood. Let's say you went back up to 40%.
Yes, I'm all ears, baby. Chime away.
Okay, I like that. You're willing to listen now.
Then take me up. Okay. I'm making progress now. This is a game. Yeah. That's all this.
Trying to teach how to communicate to your significant other.
Does this sound like communication to you, or does this sound like me having to have a scripted terminology? You know, I have to be scripted. This app is wild, because it's telling me the only way I can score points is to comply.
I think that's the gist of it, isn't it? Don't you think that's what women want you to do?
Come on, Mark, you're trying to get
me. Oh, this hasn't been for first time realizing that.
This is hypothetical. My wife knows. I rub her all the time. I rub her back, scratch her head, and I'm a good guy. I'm just doing this. Is all for the sake of show entertainment.
Okay, all right.
So you appreciate and you're willing to listen. It's like you're there, but not really with me. So she's expressing, I'm here, but I'm not. So she wants some quality time. I'm sorry about that. I just get lost in work sometimes, but I'm going to make sure to leave that outside the door and give you my undivided moving forward. I'm sorry. I'll give you my undivided moving forward.
I'm giving more time to you. Okay.
I know, right? Where's the men app at?
Thank you for the acknowledgement that it means a lot to me when you take responsibility and show that you want to improve things between us. I just need to feel like I am your priority to you.
come second.
Just remember, you only got 3 attempts left to get to 100%. So this is...
You come second to none.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me see. Did that give me some more points?
I want to believe that. I really do. Actions speak louder than words, though. So I hope you show me that I am truly second to none in your life.
You want to get married?
You want to get married? Okay.
Let's see if that takes me up.
Whoa! You got some points for that one. But can you close the deal? You got one shot left.
So what you talking about now? He said, whoa, that's a big spot. I'm glad you're thinking about our future. Let's make sure we're on solid ground and work on communications before we start thinking about marriage, okay? See, that's why I'm talking to you now. That's why I don't open up and share with you those type of things, because you always you always pivot and take it somewhere else. Pouring my heart out. So
what's your last response?
Last response. There's no better time than tonight to start that journey. I'm pulling out that Don Juan, DeMarco one. It's no better time to start
tonight.
Than tonight. Let's see.
Oh, you missed. To the what you got there.
My wife paying attention.
Oh my gosh. So you can review the chat and go through all these different scenarios itself. Okay, let me do one real quick. I'll do you forgot to buy a gift on Valentine's. So I'm starting at 60%. And your girlfriend sees that your friend's showing a beautiful gift on social media, but you forgot to buy a gift for her. She is very angry. I'm going to do is say, I am so sorry. My assistant forgot.
Big man. Put no thought into it.
What? Oh, look at where he dropped. It dropped 20%.
Put no thought into it. You want to leave that up to your sister? No.
Should I fire her?
You already know what that answer going to be. Very famous. Why is your assistant a she? That's the first question. It should have been a help.
For your mistake. That's not fair. It doesn't solve our issue. How can I make it better? Grand gestures about about getting roses and a massage this weekend.
Ooh, feels a little bit cliche. Oh, this it dropped me down. I didn't get any points for that. My goodness.
First and foremost, you didn't put no thought into it. You're going to have your assistant do it. I'm an assistant for not doing something that I was supposed to do. And then I just get you something like some roses and chocolate.
I thought that would work to get me out of hot water.
Oh my goodness. You going down. You moving backwards.
How can I improve baby?
Baby.
Oh, I'm going down again. It's going to take a little more than pet names to fix this. I need to see that you genuinely understand while I'm upset and that you're willing to make a real effort to show you care.
You got to put your foot down, Mark. You've been too nice.
I'm okay.
Yeah, you've been a little bit too nice. Look, see, look, woman.
Standing up for myself. All right, so I'm standing up. Whoops. All right, let's see what happens here.
You're going to stand up for yourself.
Standing up for yourself is fine, but it isn't about who's right or wrong. It's about being considerate and understanding. I don't think I can. I
pull that Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry. My car got a flat tire on the way here. It's on the way.
Me some roses for fighting with me. Fighting with me.
Don't tell me.
Oh my gosh. Failed.
Yeah.
Hope my wife is not watching this.
Well, she hasn't chimed in yet.
Oh my gosh.
Let me coach you on this, Mark. You know?
Oh my gosh, hilarious. I just want to just go through that. It was fun to do. Is it solve a problem? Yes, I think it does solve a problem because it's cheaper than getting divorced. Because all the stock, just go to your stock and say, okay, all the half of this stock is mine. And it also entertained. So I can see where girls are dating somebody want to see how genuine is my individual man that I'm talking to or a partner can really respond when I'm upset.
It was entertaining and it gave me a little more insight. But see, the problem is when I realized it was a game, I don't play game. No game. A woman understood my story, Mark. That's what I had to tell her. I said, I don't have no game. You just understood my story. You understood where I was coming from. So with this, once I figured out that it's a game, now I can use this to my advantage. I can see guys using this to their advantage. Saying, I think I'm just going to tell them what they want to hear. And this is going to give me blueprint. How would they respond to this?
Is that a surprise? Come on now, Juwan. And yeah, it was easy to use. And the pricing, this is an interesting pricing model, $6 a week. They charge by the week.
Wow.
On this, it's not a monthly or a free option on this at all. But I think it's a hilarious type of app. Would I recommend it? Heck yeah. I think it's entertainment. And I think it does solve a problem. If you've got a guy, you might as well know before you get married to him, if he can communicate to you when you're angry, and why not have a chatbot do that for you?
Chatbot don't understand. The chatbot is biased. This app was biased. You can only say, with only certain type of responses you can give. You couldn't give nothing genuine. You couldn't say nothing really authentic, like in your real household. Look, I'm sorry. Even when you said you were sorry and slapped on baby on end, baby. Oh, look, don't come at me with no gestures like that. It came back at you on attack again. So it was fun, though. And actually, I would recommend it for a game night.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Here's the one night and just go through the scenarios, get all the fellas and their wives and see which fella understands how the game is to be played.
How quick can they get to 100% or fail? And because you're starting at 60%. So see who's got the best game and conversation up front.
I'm all for that. Fellas, that's a challenge.
All righty. All right, Pluto. Tell me about Pluto, Juwan.
So let's talk about Pluto. And before we jump into Pluto, it's another financial app, but we talked about Hoops AI first. which is one of the differences between a Hoops AI and a Pluto, so that we don't get it confused, is that the Hoops AI, the platform that provides real-time market data, forecast, and trader ideas, whereas Pluto is an AI-driven investment management and financial awareness platform that aims to empower retail investors with personalized strategies. So that's the main difference between the two. From a description perspective, with Pluto, touts that it's capable of doing. It says it's an AI-driven platform designed to help users make informed decisions. So it's all about informed decisions, but we heard that from Hoops AI as well. And it provides access to a universe of real-time data and actionable insight, allowing users to explore, build, and trade with confidence. And so the platform also has features like an intelligent assistant, Plateau, and to help users navigate their financial journey and uncover insights with AI-powered data visualizations. So you'll see some of the charts that it has that it's going to have on display. And additionally, users has access to integrated investing, smart automation, and future insights, enabling them to create and execute automated trading strategies with ease. So once again, one of the things that I like to do is, what problem does it solve? The questions that we ask. And what they're saying they're going to solve is they're going to empower retail investors with better access to real-time data, personalized AI insight, and customizable automations. Way that they're going to do these things is it's going to describe an AI-driven platform that revolutionized the way that we're going to manage our finances by providing them with a co-pilot. So it has a co-pilot built within this application called Plateau. And on Plateau, uses is a three-part system, has thinkers, actors, and communicators. So to gather the data, execute actions, and present insight to the users in an easy-to-understand way. So I played with this quite a bit, just trying to get a good understanding. Once again, you use your email address to log in. Once you log in, brings you to your homepage. Now, it does have some additional steps that it's going to bring you to, where it's going to allow you to once again specify the type of stocks that you're looking for. So you saw in the Hoops AI where it gave you that focus, which more so geared towards your investing strategy style, whether you're a high risk, whether you're a low risk, whether you're short or long term. This just gives you information on the stocks themselves that you're going to be looking into. So this is more of that research platform. And you can use the two in conjunction with one another to try to formulate your ideas and strategies. But it's a pretty simple tool. There is a paid version. You have to become a member to have access to certain functionalities. And it's $8 a month, as you can see. You can also purchase on a yearly basis. Go back. You have your Ask Pluto. So you can click Ask Pluto here, still gives me that. Okay, so that's interesting within itself. Or you can add Pluto down here. I'm not for sure why. Let me toggle out. Toggle back in. Interesting. Now I will say this to everyone. This was one of the apps that as I was using, I was uncovering all kinds of bugs with this platform. It has yet to be released as well. But it looks like we just uncovered one here. You're not seeing it on your screen. So you ask Pluto. You can come to Ask Pluto, different types of information around the stocks that you're looking for. They generate an overview of the stock. It can also provide you with a brief summary of the stock. I'm going to go back. It gives you key details around the stock, as well as it can give you a number of overview and performance. One of the things I liked about it is, I can create my watch list. I have different sectors. It gives me my news articles once again, my price, my financials. I selected tech stocks again, of course, but I can simply click here if I want to add additional stocks to this. And when you specify the stocks that you want to add, it adds it to your watch list across the bottom. It's not as involved as the Hoops AI. This is even simpler. I mean, once I click here, I'm not going to go through the actual links, because it takes a time for it to pull all that information. It's actually pulling from a number of sources, and I've sat here for 30, 40 seconds waiting for it to compile that data. But when I went to Meta, I said, generate a report. It thinks. And when it thinks it's going to come back with this information, but basically it's going to give you a few options. It's going to scroll through them as well. But one of the options is the company profiles. This is what I already pulled in the past. So I just wanted you to take a glimpse at that. When you pull this information, it brings up the company profile. Here's some information on Meta. Overview of the company, what it offers, the financials, recent developments. And as we all know, that Meta AI Llama is one of its recent developments that's currently being used within its platform, but it's a social media platform. I also, then it gives you an option. How was this message? Was it okay, good or bad? I didn't comment on it. I asked it to show me a comparison. I clicked on the other option to show me a comparison of Meta with its top competitors. And it came back and it gave me Meta's top competitors within the space. And so it's giving you that information. It also provides a chart for you to review and analyze. And as you can see, each one of its competitors, so it's pulling from its competitors, and each one of them has a different color scheme. So this is all of them together. But as you go through it, you can click, just scroll over Microsoft, and it just gives you the Microsoft chart. Meta, it just gives you that from a percentage basis and how it's performing. It's pretty simple, not a lot to this app. I also asked, was Meta a good investment? And once again, when I asked that question, it gave me some information around it. It's a leader in the social media space with a vast user base across a platform like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp app, and Messenger. So if you weren't familiar with Meta owning WhatsApp app, Messenger, now I can give you that information. Also talks about its financial performance. So it just gives you that information, once again, that we're all looking to composite, that we don't have to go to different sources to find. Did the company overview, which I showed you recently, gives you additional suggestions. So as you're drilling down, it's going to make suggestions. And that's a part of it, the AI platform. It gave me to feel like a complexity, a chat, well, more so like a perplexity or perplexity when you type in your information. It gives you your output, but it also makes suggestions for you as well. So that's the feel that it gives me. I came to Plateau and I asked, you can ask Plateau or Pluto. Right here, they have it spelled wrong. It's really Plateau is what they had on the description. So I don't know if it's Pluto or Plateau at this point. But you asked Plateau, Pluto, how is Google stock for me? Click. Once again, it goes to this thinking process, and it typically takes a little time for it to come through. It's not like one of your large language models where it instantly grabs that information, brings it back. And it brings its information back in little sections like this, and then you have to click on that. So I'm not a big fan of that, of how they're delivering this information, but nonetheless, it's still an option out there if you want to leverage it. As you can see, it's still thinking. This platform is not ready for the market. It's still being baked out, but we have an opportunity to give them some feedback on areas where they can improve. And so I just personally wanted to use multiple financial apps so we can familiarize ourselves with what's out there and how they could be leveraged. I honestly feel as though this gives me that large language model feel, like a Perplexity ChatGPT style, where you're just typing in information or Pi and it gives you information back. You can do that from any other platforms today. As you can see, it's still thinking. It took quite some time. They're asking for your feedback in real time. They're asking you, would you refer a friend? To get 25 free messages, your referral link, asking how does it work, et cetera. So it just now finished with that information and it still didn't spit that information out. So you can write a message to them to communicate with their community or with the organization itself to get feedback. They have the analytics where you can also come here and ask them about specific questions. Pluto just wasn't a big fan of this application, very limited in what it has to offer, but nonetheless, still an option. And so with that being said, Mark, if you can proceed to the questions, did it solve my problem? No, it was actually more of a frustration. It was more frustrating than not. I'm looking for a platform that I can jump on, do some research, grab the content I'm looking for, and it's giving me the feedback in a timely manner.
Yeah, you can tell it had a lot of glitches in the screens, and it's still early, and they probably strapped for cash at this point. So they probably just have different, who knows which large language model they're using to generate the output. It's early and things can definitely improve. I've always believed, always give honest feedback to organizations.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see them being around long.
And was the application easy to use?
Wasn't much to it. Honestly, when it was easy to use, it just took too long for it to deliver its information. It just took entirely too long. So
yeah, response times is key, especially with any application. If you've got a slow response, people are just not going to use it at all. And the value pricing, and would you recommend?
The pricing, once again, was $8 a month. I would not pay $8 a month for that, and nor will I recommend this to a friend. Even though that would probably one of the only areas that they had that worked well, referred to a friend, had a link and everything. But no, I wouldn't recommend this.
Yeah, it's still too early. I wouldn't recommend it at this point. There's so many other applications out there that are so far ahead. Okay, Docus. And this particular app is with solving, I think, a huge issue that's out there in the world with working with healthcare providers and knowing, having access to doctors if you're in a rural area or you don't have the capability of getting to your doctor. And this sort of gives you two options of working with getting medical feedback. And the way they developed this, and I really like how they developed this particular application because it's using AI for the initial conversation, but then ties in to a real doctor, whether in the United States or around the world. So they're really trying to solve that a problem of physician access of good medical information using AI and real doctors. But also, too, I see that it can solve an issue sometimes getting a second opinion. A lot of times you want to get a second opinion. I think this can be solve that problem, too, itself. So I'm going to jump right into the app. It's not like an app on a phone or it's web-based. And so I went in and actually logged in so I wouldn't have to go through all that process and ask you for your age, height, weight, ethnicity, and your sex. And then it goes through your medical history. If there was any medical history, I didn't have anything really going on at this time. I just take aspirin and life patterns. It asked me questions about if I'm a non-smoker, how often do I drink? I have a non-specific diet, moderate activity, and sleep patterns less than 6 hours, and I have pretty much regular stress level at any given time. So that is the information that you input. Of course, you can input a lot more information where you can put in, say you went to go see a physician or you got your last lab results. You can put as much information in here, which then is going to give the AI doctor even more information to analyze your situation. So let's do is chat with the AI doctor. And so with the AI doctor, I have the free version, so you only get 3 responses. You can go and get others. And it was interesting when you did log in, it gave you 2 options, one as an individual, or 2, if you are actually a physician. And so I can see where physicians might be using this to get maybe second opinions on a particular situation with a patient so they can communicate with the physicians around the world. So let's go and say Mark's AI doctor, and it's going to give me some questions already that has predetermined based on my medical history. So what are the potential risks and side effects for long-term aspirin use? So if I hit that one, hit the AI doctor, and then it will go through, of course, a bleeding risk, hemorrhaging, stroke, allergic reaction, kidney damage, hearing loss. And so it goes through a lot of different options that you can see that I take an aspirin every day. Could be, these are the interactions that could occur for me. And then down here, how can I minimize any gastrointestinal issues while taking aspirin? So if I hit that, it's going and then give me different options when taking this. moderate dosage, of course, avoid alcohol, which that's, unfortunately, I do drink occasionally during the week. And of course, I don't smoke and don't take any H2 blockers or regular checkups with it, which I do get an annual checkup. And you can go through a different scenario. So if you are feeling sick or you're having different things, the AI doctor will constantly prompt you to ask you the next questions. Of course, you have to pay for that because in asking three questions, you're not going to get so much information. They have, I think it's a $15 a month. And then if you want to get the highest tier one, you can get the, I think it's at $40 per month. But what I found was interesting is you can definitely go and choose. Let's go and look at some of the reports that it can give you. Let's look at some sample reports. So it can give you a report on your medical history. Pretty straightforward stuff here. An examination, there was no result. So you would be using whether you have your instruments here, blood pressure or pulse, or if you take this information that from the doctor, you can input this. And then you can input your laboratory lab results and then your diagnosis, and then it will give you a clinical plan and treatment plan. Just like you would typically get in a physician office, but it's all generated by AI. And then you can look at the validation, and then it would be validated by an actual AI assistant. So a doctor, after you do the report, you get like one report for the $15 tier, and then you can get three reports for the higher tiers. So whatever the AI doctor gave you, the information from the chatbot, it is validated by a real doctor. So a real doctor actually reads these results and then can say, yes, we do validate what the AI said, or no, we do not see that is the case. So it gives you that checks and balances versus just going to ChatGPT or Perplexity, just typing in your diagnosis and asking it the information, and you have no idea where that information was sourced from, whether a real doctor gave you that information. So I can see where this can give a lot of great information in a very concise and give you a synopsis from a real physician that, yes, this was correct, or you might need to look at this and you go see your local doctor itself. And then here you can do is actually choose doctors that you want to go have a conversation with. And you have different countries and say in the United States, let's pick the United States. And say we want to go look at this Thomas and he's in sports medicine. You can actually do video consultations. Of course, there's a fee for that. It's $290. And then a written consultation is $290 to have that. So with this specialty, you can go through the history of the area expertise, subspecialty, and procedures performed. So he does knee reconstruction, hip, cartilage transplantation, shoulder reconstruction surgery, joint preservation. And it goes through the expertise of this particular physician, went to New York Medical College, and gives a little history. Wow, he's got a big resume there and all the different orthopedic societies he's involved with, affiliations, awards, and any publications. It really does, I thought, really close that loop of using AI. And I can see how this could actually be used itself. I thought it was a very phenomenal product itself. Okay.
So we know where you stand.
Yeah. I think it definitely solved the problem for individuals. And I might even use it for a second opinion if something comes up and I want a second opinion. I would still get maybe one locally. But I think sometimes, too, if you get a different perspective from somebody that you don't know, I think it would be also for $290 or just using the chat bot to give me sort of the basics. I like having the access to more doctors than I typically would have in the area that I live in.
And that makes sense. I'm more of a hands-on person to person. So I typically, if I got a second opinion, I would want to go show up and get an assessment and have them evaluate me from that regard. But I do see the use case for that. And there is some value to be gotten out of this application, to whereas they can provide that information and you can maybe use it as a tertiary, not necessarily a secondary, but as a tertiary. Right. All things saying the same thing, then cool.
Yeah, I agree. It was easy to use. It was pretty straightforward. I liked it because I didn't have to click through too many different menus. Everything was lined up evenly on the left-hand side. It was definitely, when I sell software, I like to have software that's easy and not too many click menus that you have to go through. And then the pricing, and would I recommend? I thought the pricing was fair for the high level of education and the individual information that you're getting. Health is, of course, very important. I know it would probably be a challenge for most people out there to probably pay for some of this additional services that it does provide. But I think it does give you an entry level if you wanted something simple, easy to use, that you didn't have that much money to go to the doctor, but you did have enough information. The only challenge it has is you need lab results and diagnostic information to really get drilled down to exactly what's going on with somebody. Just having basic chat information is not going to get you to sometimes the end result that you're looking for. So that's the gap that you have there. And I would recommend it for something as a secondary application for second opinion for sure.
Okay. Fair enough. With your charts, though, you have your My Charts and your different charts on your phone. So you have all of your lab reports in there. You can share it and upload it into this app.
Right.
That second opinion. But the question I had, especially from the pricing, the one doctor was $290.
All of my $290. Yeah.
Is that in addition to?
Yes. So if you want one-on-one conversation with that particular physician, then you would definitely need to have paid that $290. And that's, but a lot of physicians, of course, that physician doesn't get that full $290. Of course, the app gets its cut and the physician gets its cut. And, but as with anything, we've worked in healthcare long enough to know that's kind of small dollars in the grand scheme of things for peace of mind, for sure. Okay. AI news. We're going to go through 4 to 5 articles to discuss what's happening in AI this week. Okay, Juwan, you're up.
Okay, so I touched on this earlier. Microsoft beats Q3 top and bottom lines on cloud strength. And this is the AI guy show. And so when I'm looking at this, I'm talking about the cloud strength, I want to know exactly which strengths are they talking about within the cloud business. And the CEO stated that it was the company's AI services which drove them beating those estimates. And that included the Microsoft Copilot, which we've done a show on before, and as well as the Copilot Stack, which are orchestrating a new era of AI transformation and driving better business outcomes across the industry. But they talked about how it's driving those better outcomes within these different industries. Microsoft stated that its AI services contributed to 7% points of growth to its Azure and other cloud services revenue. And it's up 6%, 6 points from Q2 and 3 points from Q1. So you can see it incrementally growing quarter over quarter based off of their investment in this technology. The Microsoft CFO, Amy Hood, she noted that the company is seeing near-term AI demands outstrip available capacity. So it's a high demand for this technology. And it's, you can tell by the competitors, and the big dogs are all coming together trying to get market share. Google, Microsoft is definitely in a good place for that. Competitor Google as well. But Microsoft provided a Q4 2024 revenue guidance of $63.5 billion, which is up to $64.5 billion, slightly ahead of its analysis, which expected it to only be around 64.7. So overall, Microsoft cloud services are killing it out there. And Wall Street estimates that I'm going to see another $33.93 billion. So this was a good article to read, especially if you're dealing with finance, you're looking for companies to invest in. This, the trajectory of this company, especially due to AI and the role that AI is playing, is only going up from here. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. So
that's great. Okay. This is quite funny. After we had done a great review of Llama 3 last week, with just being launched and, of course, being deployed to all of Meta's platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and it was quite interesting to, and Juan, it was funny that you just briefly tell me about your friends, what they think about Meta AI in Facebook and Instagram.
We were all big on this AI, this Meta Llama 3 on our last session, and all was well. I shared a statement that they caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. And so they just threw it out there as a part of a service update. And I thought, wow, am I the only one that's seeing this? No, I wasn't the only one. I looked on my timeline and I saw a comment as I was going through my feed. Someone had stated, could you please just give me my... Meta AI Llama, no, I don't want you to help me with anything, make any suggestions for me. Can I just please get my search bar back? And they said, anybody who shares that same sentiment, please repost this. So they were trying to take a stand. But nonetheless, it makes perfectly good sense. It just caught everybody off guard. I think they could have, and the fact, they could have did a better job of promoting and letting people know ahead of time. And the fact of the matter is, they're stating that if you don't like it, leave. That's the stance that they're pretty much taking. They're not going to change that bar. It's here. They're not going to change the Meta Llama. It's going to still be here, and we're going to have to utilize it.
Yeah, and the article talked about the good aspects of what Meta AI, we won't go through all that because we mentioned that last week about this being the place for search, because they want to capture a lot of that search business from Google itself. But it was very frustrating for this particular reader of, now you can generate all these images with Llama 3, and his news feed is just flooded with all of these pictures that people are creating. And it just is like too much information, too many toys all at one time that people are using this and flooding all these data streams and feeds of individuals. And he just wanted to basically, when his dog was at the vet, or getting groomed, he just wanted the pictures to look at the pictures. But he had to go through Meta AI, and he just found it very cumbersome to him. And he almost to a point where the app is almost unusable because of all this new content being generated by Meta AI. But also, you have to work around the Meta AI application to get to what you need that you traditionally had always done in the past itself.
So they share my sentiment.
Yep. All righty, Juan, you're next.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me get to what this was very interesting. And this is something that we talk about a lot, especially with the deepfakes from AI and the chaos that it can create. Talked about Nuance on one of our earlier shows. And Nuance is here to help with exactly just this, to try to vet out any of these deepfakes, because there's good players in the game, but there's also bad players in the game. And so here's President Marcos of the Philippines. And we know, if you've been following the news, there's some tension there between the Philippines and China. However, somebody took it upon themselves, and it was an actor, which created a deepfake. And with this deepfake, he was urging, he imitated President and urged the military to take action against China. So that was very interesting, because it sounded just like him, they said, and that information was sent out. It hit like a YouTube stream. It went viral. And now China was taking arms, was mounting up to take action as well because of this tension. And so, as you can see, there's a lot of tension going on from them based off of the overlapping claims of the South China Sea. And what ended up eventually happening, they identified that it was a deepfake. They're stating it was a foreign actor who did this and portrayed that leader, which was forcing them to take retaliate against China. And so they flagged it, and now they're taking action trying to identify this individual because it was inaccurate and it almost started a war. So what they're talking about now is how these deepfakes and the deepfake of Marco shows how nations around the world, from the U.S. to India, are grappling with the manipulated online content, which could influence politics and artificial intelligence as it takes off. So we have the election coming up. There's so many deepfakes that they're putting out there that we have to be mindful of. But now this is introducing something new. And Mark, you and I talked about this. We talk a lot about jobs being lost. We're probably going to have to create a lot of jobs for those to analyze this data to make sure that it hasn't been manipulated or tampered with, because we want to ensure the integrity of it. But this was, to me, this was scary and something that just jumped out based off the fact that deepfake was on the verge of creating tension, surmountable tension with the Philippines and China. So it was.
Yeah. And, you know, we had talked about, and I saw this on the TV, the local TV, about what happened in Baltimore, where the principal got suspended based on a recording that was actually a deep fake recording. And because it was a teacher that planted this fake recording. And finally, they figured out it was actually a fake. But just think about all the stress that the individual had to go through, and how do you almost need to have access to these tools almost like immediately. If something pops up, you scan it and it's validated that, hey, it's real or fake, so you can then push out there. Or is it going to be where it's so much fake information, nobody's going to believe anything anyhow? It's just fascinating.
That's a problem, though. If that's what we're coming to, a world whereas we got to fact check and validate every piece of information for the integrity of it, I don't think that's the type of society I want to live in, to be quite honest. It's scary.
Amazing. Okay. Since you did talk about Microsoft, this just landed in my inbox this morning. AWS, Amazon Web Services. They launched today their new generative AI assistant called Amazon Q. And I was going to go through the video, but for sake of time, I will not go through it. But it really talked about three things with Amazon Q, because they're a huge competitor to Microsoft Azure. AWS is still the largest web services out there, and they do a phenomenal job. But Amazon and Azure, Microsoft are always clashing with each other in the battle of Royale with cloud computing. But with they have really brought three things that are really important. First thing was the Amazon Q developer. And what that Q developer is, it helps the development team, the programmers, to help write code quicker. So it's using generative AI within their particular instance in Amazon Web Services to write code quicker, be more efficient in writing the programs, interconnecting all the programs together. The second big thing was Amazon Q Business. And what that does is, we had talked about it in one of our articles or videos about how they use the example when creating a new job profile. And because you can do is all your company's information is within the AWS instance, or it could be on-prem, but it can gather all your company information. And then you can, as an individual manager, HR person, or anybody within the organization, you can write your own prompts and create a prompt that you wanted to create a new job profile. You wanted to create a 90-day onboarding process. And they are giving you all those tools within a secured environment with your particular information. It's huge. And then the last thing we will talk about is Amazon Q Quick Site. And that is like Power BI, gives you the capability of really pulling information from disparate systems and then pulling it together to compile it for reporting, analyzing data. And a lot of that in the past was you had to go get the file, compile it. And now they're trying to make it where the individual user that is needing the information can go and access it and pull it in a prompt to a fashion.
So it's quite amazing what they are doing in that space itself. Okay. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is we're going to come back to Meta. And we'll briefly talk about they, of course, the Meta glasses, they are partnered with Ray-Ban to provide AI. They've integrated Meta AI into the glasses themselves. And quickly, the three things that it's problems that they're trying to solve is to have a simple tool. We talked about the Humane Pen and then, the, of course, the Rabbit R1, which we got a lot of negative feedback. But it's funny that our negative feedback is exactly what people are saying when they actually got the device in the hand. We've been selling the devices forever. We knew what the problem was. We didn't have to buy it to tell them what problems it was going to be. And all the reviewers are saying the same thing. It's trashing it. But with this here, you can do is capture video of, say, you were playing a basketball. You could watch, capture this information from the Ray-Ban glasses. And then they just added, of course, the Meta AI. And they're showing this particular lady looking at a particular object. And then you're asking Meta AI, what is am I looking at? And of course, now I'm doing that with my smartphone when I use either Copilot or Perplexity. I take that picture and it will give me that information. Now, with it having it very convenient on glasses, I could see where that would be. And of course, you have the ability to do calling on this if you are needing to have somebody to see what's going on at the given time. Of course, you have listen and live stream. So it goes through a lot of different unique things that these glasses, I think they run about $300 to $400, $500. Something I probably still wouldn't buy because I'm so used to using a phone, but I can see where people could not see it as a novelty or use it. I don't know anybody has bought them at all. I remember some people bought the Google glasses when those came out, but that didn't last long at all.
Yeah, so it's interesting that Meta's even barking up that tree, going that route, knowing that Google's didn't really take off.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. All righty. Juwan, now we got into our little caption here. And when I do look at it and I squint my eyes, I see it right away.
You don't see it.
It. You love these little visual puzzles here, don't you?
It's creative to me. And I'm asking, so I want to know, what does everyone else see? It took me, and I honestly scrolled past this the first time and didn't think twice about it. Okay, it's an image, but I'm curious. I was curious to see what other people think about this.
I think it was hard to look at some of these sometimes, but can I give you the answer? Because I know what it looks like.
You can give me the answer.
Alrighty, it looks like a picture of Jesus.
I'll drink to that. And you're absolutely right. It's just interesting. I like how they're doing these creative little, putting pictures inside of pictures. They're generating it. But when you squint your eyes, you see it just as clear as day. And once you see it, it's hard for you to unsee it. The human, not to the average person, they just see two women. Maybe even three. I don't know if it's three women right there, but when you squint your eyes, that image just pops. But I just wanted
with generative AI, I think there's going to be a ton more of these popping up all over the time. So you will have unlimited amount of views of pictures analyze.
We can create a book, have AI do it and publish it. People are fine. It's interesting. Just looking like you have Sudoku. They just look at pictures, see if they can identify what it is, have it sitting on a table in the doctor's office somewhere.
We're going to get into talking about Perplexity. I have found is my favorite go-to chatbot for information. And what Perplexity is really, it's they're getting it as more of a search engine. And what it's doing is trying to compete against Google. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to go through a couple examples in using Perplexity. And this is going to be unique because we'll also show you the app version also on my iPhone in a little bit. But let me do is ask Perplexity a couple things. say, will a cause job loss? And then I'm going to do is that we have the pro version. And what the pro version is going to give you, I call this the Swiss Army knife of ChatGPT of large language models brought together in one location. So, will AI cause job loss? So I'm going to do first is I am going to hit search there. And then I will go the old traditional way is go to Google. Will AI cause job loss? And then hit enter. And this is the response that I have gotten from Google. Our traditional way of doing search today is through Google. And this is the information. I know they've changed a little. We will do a review on that in the future. But you can see the response given by Google, multiple of the different websites that you can click on and read the information. But if you go back to the Perplexity one, it is going to do is go through a couple different resources, and it goes through three steps. So it's telling me the sources, and it's still thinking. It's a little slow tonight. Must be a lot of people working on Perplexity tonight. But you can see the three steps that it's completed. It understood the question. It's searching the web. And what it's doing, it's looking at AI impact on job loss, AI job displacement, and AI job creation. And then it gave me 19 different types of sources that I could click on and jump to and look at. So I can go, okay. And then it's still looking way to answer it. It's very slow tonight, Juwan. But you can see that it is a very dynamic way of looking at information. And with the pro version, I'll click on here, the bottom part. While we're doing this, you can get then ask focus. It will then give you a couple different options where you can look at specific information that you want to search to go after, which is very interesting. You can do search all, will search the whole internet. It can do academic. It can do writing. And then it can do Wolfram, which is more computational. And then it can search YouTube and then Reddit. It's very good, especially I really have used on the academic side. It's really been good about really delving into the articles, and it's really giving the focus of the information and really does give you the capability of looking at that information so much quicker. Juwan, I'm going to jump it to you. And you continue on the different features itself.
Awesome, awesome. So once again, like Mark said, I'm a huge champion of this technology as well. Not for sure what was taking so long with Mark to load on his end. So I went ahead and plugged in a quick prompt to see if I was going to have that same issue. But the prompt that I plugged in was, what is the intended use case of Perplexity? And once again, the intended use case of Perplexity is to be at search engine. As we begin to shift away from utilizing Google, which gives you different links that you have to then navigate through, it's compositing all that information and it's giving you somewhat of a summary of all of those different links. So you can get a high level, somewhat of a summary, read through it and determine if you wanted to use that source or not, or read more about that source. Case in point, it searches LinkedIn, searches Forbes. It gives you different information on the sources of where it's pulling this information from. And as you can see, each response has a number beside it. If I click on that number, it actually takes me to the LinkedIn source. Not for sure if you can see that now, but so it took me to the LinkedIn source. That LinkedIn source is the information where they extracted that information from. So that's the beauty of Perplexity within itself. I tell my wife all the time, stop using ChatGPT, start using Perplexity. Perplexity is going to give you more sources that you can cross-reference and go and view, validate for your own. Go back to, let me share this screen. But as you can see, Perplexity number one, that was my first source here. If I click on source here, it also pulled it from that same document. But as we scroll down, you got this pulling from both documents. And I just think that's pretty slick from a search engine perspective. But then it also gives you some related topics that you may want to explore. Like, how does it work? What are the benefits of using Perplexity AI? And what industries can benefit from Perplexity AI? That's just pretty slick within itself. I had this thread already open. And as you can see on the left-hand side, I click Perplexity. It takes me back to my home screen. Pretty much gives me a new thread. I could have clicked a new thread and I could have started my search from there. Mark already went through those, but I have my home screen as well, which takes me right back here. So those three different methods for you to get back to the same screen. You can do a discover. I thought this was pretty cool. Last night when I was playing with it, it had something up there about the Pope. Oh, here you go. So Pope's still up here. But when you click on this, Pope went viral. And the Pope went viral because of his bubble jacket that he was wearing. He was wearing a sporty bubble jacket, but we found out that was a deep fake as well. It was AI generated, but you can click and get more images of what's going on, Pope. And so from an image generation, it gives you multiple sources that you can pull from. What's going on with the Pope? The Pope attended the up-and-coming G7 Summit, or G7 Summit. Will attend, okay. But it just gives you a high-level overview. Go down here, we're logged into the AI Guy Show. And this is what I thought was pretty slick, because up until last night, I didn't know. But by default, you're using the AI model that you're using at the Claude 3. And so for those, this is the pro version. So with the pro version, it gives us an opportunity to select exactly which model we want to use. We can use the default. We can go to Sonar, ChatGPT-4. And to Mark's point, it's that Swiss Army knife. It gives you all of your engines that you can pull from. You can even specify from an image generation, which you can use Playground DALL-E 3. I wasn't aware of that. That's only in the paid version. It's a pretty cool tool all around. You can download your images. Just a handy tool that I think everybody should start playing with. From that being said, Mark, that's just at a high level, some additional content around.
All right. Let me jump to the actual app itself. Let me bring this up. This is the mobile app, and it's the pro version itself. It's very similar layout as we had with the desktop version, but it gives you a couple different options. And you could also upload video or files to this actual Perplexity. It can read it. It can summarize it by this button here. So I'm going to do this right here and say, I want to do is take a photo. I'm going to do is take a photo of the Stream Deck, use photo. And what is this? And this is what I do. We talked about Meta using the AI glasses. I use this. I just take pictures if it's something I don't know. I've used it when going fishing or if I'm looking at plants, I don't know what it is. It gives me information. Some of it's correct, some of it's still not correct, but it's learning each time as people do this. And this is correct. It's a Stream Deck and it goes through and gives me details on the Stream Deck itself. Nice thing about this also, I can talk to it. What is the weather today in Washington, D.C.? And then you just hit the, and then it will go through and look at the resources and give you that answer back. And it's fairly quick. Device shown here. It says provide weather. It does not provide weather information. So I'm going to do is go back and get out of this thread and then ask it because it thought I was still in that thread. So what was the weather today in Washington, D.C.? So it gives you a nice little thing here, and then just going to.
Come on, Plexi, we've been bigging you up.
Yeah.
Did it capture your voice?
Yeah, it did capture it. Let me do it again. Let's do is. What is the weather today in Washington, D.C.?
It captured your voice that time.
So. Yeah. So you diagrammed it there and it's giving you all kinds of information there with the Perplexity. And it's very fascinating in using this particular application because it can give you so many resources and information. And when you look at it, I use this all the time in looking at particular information. I don't know if I may jump back to this here. I don't know if anybody's seen this before on this, but if you go back to Perplexity and then you can go to, at the very bottom, it's called Playground. If you hit that, and then it gives you a capability of, and you don't have to pay for this. And this is, I thought, very unique. It gives you a lot of large language models that you can go and play with and analyze. Because a lot of times I'm always asking prompts, different information to see what kind of response I get back from different LLMs out there. So this one has a Llama 3 sonar. And then it also goes through Claude, Llama 3, the $7 billion parameter model. And you can see all the different ones that it has that you can go and have a conversation with. So let's do Llama. Will AI cause job losses? And see what it comes back with. And it comes back very quick with Perplexity, automation, job displacements. And this is what I like to do occasionally when I have a little extra time, not much, but go through and go test all these different models itself. It's a free little thing there. It's right on the very beginning. It's called the Playground, and it's a great tool if you want to go and look at different type of information on Perplexity. Because it's, like I said, it's that Swiss Army knife type of information all consolidated together to give you one place that you can get information. Only thing you don't get is, of course, you Copilot, which is really ChatGPT, but of course been modified. And of course, you don't have a Google because it's competing against Google these days. But overall, Perplexity is a great tool to use. I fully recommend it. It solves a lot of problems. And I can see that it's gotten more funding. It's got in early and had a great idea of saying, hey, let us be the one source for all these LLMs and be a search engine together. And I think they got in early enough that I think they will be successful long-term itself. And still be part of Google Gemini is not going away. Copilot's not going away. ChatGPT's not going away. But I think Perplexity could be that fourth or fifth one out there that's direct to consumer. And then also, too, it can be a business to business application itself. Any other words on Perplexity, Juwan?
This is my preferred tool that I go to and I use daily. So when we talk about what have we done with AI this week, I've always said I use the tools that help compose messages, do research, look up information for my job, and Perplexity is it. This is my preferred tool.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's great. I love the mobile version of it. It gives me a lot of great information, and I recommend it. So it's listening to me now, so it's probably getting very good vibes from me, from Perplexity itself.
Big brother.
Oh, but it's where knowledge begins. I love that terminology. And to finish up, we're here really to solve today's problems with AI, and we're continuing to bring you different technologies that can make a difference. There's so much out there that we're going to bring to you over the years, and we look forward to having that feedback and communication with our family, friends, and our community that we're building here on the AI Review Room. Any final words before we leave today, Juwan?
Thank you all for pulling in for another special in episode 6. Gonna be here to thank that time, thank that channel on Lekin. Those who are interested in following us on our other platforms, please let you all. And take our new stream and follow our platform. Once again, thank you all. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, everybody. And we look forward to continuing our conversation.